ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, second edition, revised and enlarged, with the original Sanskrit text, Roman transliteration, English equivalents, translation and elaborate purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 8, Attaining the Supreme, text 3 or 4? 4. Okay. Please repeat. Adibhutam Kshadaha Bhavaha Purushaha Cha Adidevatam Adideva Adidevatam Adiyagyaha Aham Eva Atra Dehe Dehabritam Vara Adibhutankshara Bhava Purushascha Adidevatam Adiyagyohame Vatra Deha Deha Britangvara Adibhutankshara Bhava Purushascha Adidevatam Adiyagyohame Vatra Dehe Deha Britangvara Adibhutankshara Bhava Purushascha Adidevatam Adiyagyohame Vatra Dehe Deha Britangvara Adibhutankshara Bhava Purushascha Adidevatam Adiyagyohame Vatra Dehe Deha Britangvara Adibhutankshara Bhava Purushascha Adidevatam Adiyagyohame Vatra Dehe Deha Britamvara Adibhutankshara Bhava Purushascha Adidevatam Adiyagyoham Evatra Dehe Deha Britamvara Adibhutankshara Bhava Purushascha Adidevatam Adiyagyoham Evatra Dehe Deha Britangvara. Sir, would you like to try? Would you like to sing? Okay. Well, it's just reading. Anyway, maybe next time. Thank you. Please repeat. Adibhutam. The physical manifestation. Kshadaha. Constantly changing. Bhava. Nature. Purushaha. The universal form. Including all the demigods. Like the sun and moon. Cha. And. Adidevatam. Called Adideva, Adiyagyaha, the Supersoul, Aham, I, Krishna, Eva, certainly, Atra, in this, Dehe, body, Deha Britam, of the embodied, Vara, all best. Translation, all best of the embodied beings. The physical nature which is constantly changing, is called Adi Bhuta, the material manifestation. The universal form of the Lord, which includes all the demigods, like those of the sun and moon, is called Adi Deva. And I, the Supreme Lord, represented as the Supersoul in the heart of every embodied being, am called Adi Yajna, the Lord of Sacrifice. Purport. The physical nature is constantly changing. Material bodies generally pass through six stages. They are born, they grow, they remain for some duration, they produce some byproducts, they dwindle, and then they vanish. This physical nature is called Adibhuta. It is created at a certain point and will be annihilated at a certain point. The conception of the universal form of the Supreme Lord, which includes all the demigods and their different planets, is called Adi Devata. And present in the body, along with the individual soul, is the Supersoul, a plenary representation of Lord Krishna. The Supersoul is called Paramatma, or Adi Yajna, and is situated in the heart. The word Eva is particularly important in the context of this verse, because by this word, the Lord stresses that the Paramatma is not different from Him. The Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, seated beside the individual soul, is the witness of the individual soul's activities and is the source of the soul's various types of consciousness. The Supersoul gives the individual soul an opportunity to act freely and witnesses his activities. The functions of all these different manifestations of the Supreme Lord automatically become clarified for the pure Krishna conscious devotee engaged in transcendental service to the Lord. The gigantic universal form of the Lord called Adi Devata is contemplated by the neophyte who cannot approach the Supreme Lord in his manifestation as Supersoul. The neophyte is advised to contemplate the universal form or Virat Purush, whose legs are considered the lower planets, whose eyes are considered the sun and moon, and whose head is considered the upper planetary system. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Vanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayabacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Adi Bhutam Kshiro Bhava Purushas Chadi Devatam Adi Yagyoham Evatra Dehi Deha Britangvara. So Krishna is answering Arjuna's question, who he calls best of the embodied beings. Arjuna is very advanced. He is an eternal associate of the Lord, yet he is an embodied being, not like Krishna. Krishna's nature is spiritual. Janma karma chame divyam. His janma and karma is divyam, spiritual. Still, here Arjuna is called best of the embodied beings. The physical nature, which is constantly changing, is called Adibhuta, Adi also means like original. Sorry? Oh, it's different? What does it mean? Oh, yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, yeah, that is the Adi, is the original without the H. Yeah, 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 right. This is with H. We have Sanskrit scholar. My mistake. Thank you, bro. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Adi Yagya. Well, here it says here the Lord. Adi Yagya, the Lord of Sacrifice, Prabhupada says here. Okay, well, you can look it up later, Sanskrit scholar. No, thank you. It's good. No, no, we don't want to have any mistakes. Yeah, so I always think of Plato. He's always talking about the material nature is changing all the time and the soul is not changing. So this is important. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita starts with that. Let me just go back because it's we kind of forget, you know. Like Stalker Krishna said, he said, repetition is the mother of learning. So we need to repeat it. 2.13 and before also already. 2.13 is very famous, you should know this. Dehinasmin yata dehe. Kaumaram jauvanam jara tata deha antara praptir. I'll just read the translation. As the embodied soul, the dehinaha, deha, body, inaha, the one who is in the body. The inaha, asmin yatadehe, goes to another body. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from kaumaram, from kid, to yovanam, to youth, to jara, old man. From boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. Antar praptir dehe. He gets another body. He obtains praptir antar dehe. Other dehe, other body. At the anta. Deha antar, transference of the body. And then before that, he's the first thing Krishna says to Arjuna, not really the first thing, but after he surrendered, asochan anvasochan stvang pragyavanangscha basase katasun agatasunscha. That's the main thing. Nanusha shanti panditaha. It's a little bit Sanskrit is like a mathematical language. Gata sun. Here gata is translated as lost. This is from 2.11. Asun is life. And then agata, not past, asun. So here translated, those who are wise, pandit, nanuso shanti, like anuso shanti is here translated as lament. Nanuso shanti, they don't lament the pandit for the living nor for the dead. Gatasun, agatasun. You have anything to say on that, Bhakta Mark? Gatasun, agatasun. Yeah? I mean. Because I'm a little bit. Yeah, and about the Sanskrit, gata asun, agata asun. No, gata asun. Asun here is translated as life. And gata also is here translated as lost, and agata, not past. Agata. Gata also means, I think, means goal also. Gati means go here. Gata. Ah. Yeah. Anyway, here's like one who lost his life and one who has not lost his life. Right. So, right. But that is it. Gatasun, one who has lost his life, an agathason, one who has not lost his life. That's what I'm saying, a bit mystical. Anyway, the point is that we need discrimination in what is true and what is not true. What is real and what is not real. What is the soul and what is material. What is spiritual and what is material. That's the main thing, actually. So the soul is spiritual and Krishna is spiritual and everything else is material. Actually, in the higher sense, there's nothing material. It's just our consciousness that thinks material. This is our free will, which is discussed in the purport. Because everything is Krishna's energy, you see. So it's all a matter of degree. So you have three modes: ignorance, passion, and goodness. So trees, for instance, or stones, they're in ignorance. Animals and animals actually also considered in ignorance generally. Human beings are considered in passion, and then the demigods are considered in goodness. And then the spiritual world is called Sudasattva, pure goodness. Because still the demigods, there is some tinge there of, passion, some little. So there's degrees of covering of the soul, covering of the consciousness. There's degrees of, you could say, false ego. Like the plant, the false ego is very big, it's very covered, the consciousness. And then the higher, that's why when we preach, or at least when I preach, I tell people, you can eat eggs or fish if you have to eat meat, but don't eat cow. Or in England, they don't eat horse. Because they know it's a higher animal. You can have a relationship with the horse. It's very special. You don't kill your friend. They understand it in England, Of course, unfortunately for them, they don't understand that the cow is even higher than the horse. Because the cow gives milk. And is considered a mother. Because everybody here, generally, is raised with cow milk. It's very important for babies to have cow milk. Mother, she can breastfeed for a few months, or sometimes a little longer. And then the child needs cow milk. So it's very, very important. And every good thing is made from cow milk. Like everybody loves ice cream, everybody loves pizza or cheese. That is made from cow. No ice cream without cows. So it's a very holy animal. And only eats little grass and it says boo. It doesn't do anything. Unless it's like a stampede. You've got like thousands of cows. And that's why you need coward boys. You see? This is what Krishna's job is. He's a coward boy. And then you have the bull. And he's considered the father. He plows the land. So, yeah, we recommend that people, if they need to eat meat, then they eat, of course the Muslims, they also have some concept, they don't eat pig meat, which is considered a very dirty animal because he eats anything and everything. In fact, in India, you can actually see the pigs literally eating stool. Because the cows, they also walk there, and when they pass stool, then the pigs come and they eat the stool. Or they go even in the gutter. In the Vrindavan, you have the open sewer, and they just go there with their nose and they just eat. This is very low consciousness, this pig. So, yeah, at least the Muslims, they have some understanding that you shouldn't eat such a dirty animal. So that in one sense it's good. Generally, also the Muslims, they notice generally what is considered eatable is a goat. Goats are, I know goats also give milk. I mean, we rather don't kill any animal. In fact, we don't. Still, the goat is considered allowed, according to Vedic scripture. For low-class people, not politicians, not leaders, not priests, not even vaishyas or sudras, they're not, as far as I understand, they're not allowed to eat meat. It's people who are lower than sudra. Because actually, if you eat meat, you're not actually considered a human being. So it's for low-class people, they're allowed to do that. My point is that there is different grades of consciousness. Like the fish, in Bengal they eat a lot of fish. It's a very low consciousness. It's got different nerve system. Like sometimes you talk to fishermen and they say that the hook in their mouth doesn't hurt them. Now I'm sure it hurts a little bit, but you can see the fish, it seems that it doesn't hurt the same as it would hurt with us. Their nerve system is a little bit different. They're kind of tough, you know, fish. And they're very difficult to get, you know, kind of grasp what they're thinking. You know, with most animals you can kind of figure it out, but with fish are a little bit, you know, it's very much covered. They're also kind of mystical. Anyway, my point is that there's degrees of consciousness, degrees of covering by the modes of material nature. So fish is lower consciousness than, like I said, a horse or a cow, or for that matter, a human being. And then with the humans, there are also different grades of consciousness. Because sometimes people, especially in Amsterdam, they have this philosophy that everybody is the same. And yes, we're born the same. Kalau Sudra Sambhava, we're all born as Sudras. Still, we can qualify ourselves by our behavior, by our actions. There's four. Huh? What is that Sanskrit? That nobody knows. It's in the seventh chapter, no? Is it not? Sorry about that. Okay. Anyway, Mark is going to look it up for us. So, there are four classes of men, and according to the action and their mood, they are considered, you know, servants, or, you know, merchants, or, you know, like warriors or policemen or priests, according to their mood and their action. It's not that, like a policeman, if he's too corrupt, then he's dragged down. They fire the guy. And if it's really bad, he goes to jail. He's no more policeman. He's finished. So it's according to action. Of course, in India, I don't know exactly how this started, but there's the misunderstanding that it's according to birth. And this is, of course, ridiculous. It's not that if a doctor gets a son, that automatically the son is a doctor. He has to go to the doctor school, and then you get a degree and like that. So it's ridiculous if you say that only the son of the doctor can become a doctor. No, the son of the doctor, he might want to become a musician, and the son of the musician, he might want to become a doctor. And if he does the work, then he can be a doctor. So this is a little bit of a misunderstanding in India, a very unfortunate misunderstanding. Anyway, I'm just trying to explain about these different modes and different levels of consciousness. Can you read the Sanskrit? Yeah, so the second sentence is guna karma vibhagashah. It's divided, vibhagashah, by guna, quality, and karma, action. So by the quality of the person and by the action of the person, that's how we judge them. This is common sense. This is what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. And that is how you have the four divisions. These four divisions are everywhere. You can try to deny it, but it is just silly. Everywhere you have philosophical people. Everywhere you have people who like to manage things. Everywhere you have people who are into, you know, selling things and getting, you know, money, or, you know, herding cows, who are into farming. This is called Vaishyas. And then there's people that just want to be simple and just serve other people. Just be simple. Don't have any responsibility. And all these people, they work together, like the legs and the belly and the hands and the head. They work together as one unit. So similarly in society, you have the head, the hands, the belly. This is the farmers or the economical class, and the legs, which is called the Sudras, who serve all the other classes. So all have to cooperate, but of course, the body has to listen to the head. Otherwise, it's craziness or sickness. If the leg suddenly starts to twitch, then that is not good. You're considered sick. The leg has to do what the head says. At the same time, the head has to respect the leg. If the body gets hungry, the head has to put some food into the belly. And this food, to elaborate a little bit, should be in the mode of goodness, if you want to go to goodness. Yes. But why, how's it translated there? How's it translated there? Divisions. So how do you explain that then? Right. So somebody is very opulent in, you know, making money. Another person is very opulent in philosophy knowledge. Yeah? Okay. Okay, let's wrap this up. Anyway, I just want to stress that it's a very important point. It's a little bit sometimes misunderstood. It's not a difficult point if you just are clear-headed. Prabhupada says that unless you don't eat meat, you cannot understand these things. And still, because most of us ate meat, it's difficult for us to grasp these things. And also this, you know, that we have a soul and that the super soul is sitting in the heart. We keep forgetting it. If I speak for myself and do so much nonsense, if I would be really conscious that Krishna is sitting in my heart, then I would be more embarrassed than I am now. And this is also called ignorance. Lokanath Maharaj, he explained like that. Ignoring Krishna. We're ignoring Krishna. That's all it is. We're just ignoring Krishna. Krishna is there. He's right there in the heart. But we are ignoring him. And this is called ignorance. This is actually one of the worst things that you can do, is to ignore Krishna. Krishna rather has that you hate him. He rather has that you hate him than that you ignore him. Because ignoring, it's like killing someone, you know? Like really, really mean to ignore someone. It's better to just tell the person the truth, you know, than to just ignore. Because one, ignoring means that you're just finished. You can't speak to the person anymore. You're just totally, you gave up actually on the person. And if you're still screaming, then you still love the person because you think he can change. You see? Anyway, just keep it in mind because we have these impersonal tendencies. I do it all the time. Because we're scared, actually. I forgot where it's explained, but Prabhupada says that we are scared for a spiritual identity when we leave this body. It sounds a little strange, but we are actually scared for that. So, like when you enter a room, it's scary. You know, so many people look at you, and then we just ignore everybody, just to, because we don't know how to deal with it. It's scary, you know. Like, I think you said it, that one of the greatest fears is to speak in public. It's a great fear for many people. And I'm no exception, but the more you do it with everything, the better you get at it. You're still a little bit nervous, but you kind of, you know what to do. So the nerves are still there, but you kind of know what to do. Practice. Practice makes perfect. This whole process is about practice. Anything you want to do. Like I remember, well, I won't call his name, but a famous guitar player, he said, if I don't practice for one day, then I feel it. And if I don't practice for a week, I cannot play the songs I used to play like 10 years ago. Or another guitarist, he said, that the things I played 10 years ago, if I would play them now, my hands would start to bleed. You know, because he would play so fast. So it's all practice. We need to practice, and that's why we need to do it every day. Every day we need to practice. Like, we need to eat every day. We always have time to eat. Unless we fast, but then that is exceptional. But generally we make time to eat, and we make time to brush our teeth. I mean, we should, at least. And if you have to go, call of nature, you have to go. So similarly, we should take our japa, our chanting six rounds, should take it very seriously. Because the soul also needs to, you could say, eat. It's a spiritual, it's part of the, you get spiritual energy. You're reconnecting the soul with Krishna. So the soul, the soul already is perfect, but what happens, it gets uncovered. Like your room, you have to clean it every day, or at least every week. If you don't do it, it gets dirty. So the same with the heart. If you don't do it, the material energy is such, like the room, it just gets dirty by itself. You don't have to do anything. The room just gets dirty just by you being there. The body, it creates all kinds of, you know, garbage, and the room gets dirty, you know. And even if there's nobody in the room, it still gets dirty. So similarly, the heart or the consciousness, it gets covered. So we need to push every day to clean it. Okay, let me see if I can explain a few things, because it's a very technical purport. Okay, we have Adibhuta and Adideva and Adiyagya. So Adibhuta is the living entities, or here called the material manifestation. Adideva is the demigods, and Adiyagya is the Lord. There are six stages that you should know. That is basically the same for anybody: butterflies, human beings, elephants. They're born, they grow, they remain, they produce, and then they dwindle, and then they die. That is called Adibhuta. It gets created and it gets annihilated. Here said Adiyagya is situated in the heart together with the soul. And we're already in the Sanskrit thing, so we can have a look at this word Eva. Chadi Devatam Adiyagyo Aham Evatra. Eva Atra. He is certainly here. So he's in the body, Prabhupada explains. Eva is particularly important in the context of this verse, because by this word the Lord stresses that the Paramatma is not different from him. Adiyakya, aham. I am the super soul, Krishna says. Yeah, sometimes people, they say Krishna is some historical figure. Like I said, janma karma chame divyam. Krishna's janma, his birth, and his activities, they are spiritual. They're not like us. And here Krishna says, I am the super soul. This is not an ordinary book. This Bhagavad Gita is world famous. There's more than 300 to 400 translations in the world. English. Everybody knows Bhagavad Gita, practically. Anybody with a little brains knows Bhagavad Gita. Hitler knew Bhagavad Gita. Goethe knew Bhagavad Gita. So many big philosophers knew. Probably Plato knew Bhagavad Gita. I made a scripture when I was in high school. And I proved beyond the shadow of a doubt that what Plato was writing is the same as what is in Bhagavad Gita. So my conclusion was either there is like a universal truth or he knew about this. And it was so similar that I actually think that they had some connection with the Vedic culture. They must have. So everybody knows Bhagavad Gita. It's not an ordinary book. So Krishna says here in this Bhagavad Gita, I am the super soul. Adiyagya aham. I am the Adiyagya. Yeah, it's kind of mystical, because therefore I explained a little bit about these different modes, that the super soul is there, but Prabhupada says that he's a witness, and he's just watching. So it's called Bahir Mukha. We took our face away from Krishna, so now we need to put our face back to Krishna. Of course, by Prabhupada's mercy, by Krishna's mercy, we have the deity, or we should say Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Once one devotee said, the deities will arrive soon from India. And Prabhupada said to him, dolls. He thinks they're dolls, simply dolls. You know, because the deity, it's a little bit impersonal. You know, it's Krishna. It's Krishna. It's coming from India to England, you know. So, yeah, we should develop that consciousness that Krishna is here, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada is here. You can feel it. I don't know, you ever changed the book or the clothes of Srila Prabhupada? You ever changed the book? No? Well, I did a few times. And sometimes I did it in a material consciousness, like there's some doll sitting there. And then I got scared. I just felt the energy of Srila Prabhupada. I just felt that there is actually a person sitting there. And a very sensitive person. And I have to be very sensitive, very clean, very careful. Krishna is also very sensitive. That's why when we go on the altar, we take a shower. We have to be clean. So, yeah, we have to be conscious of that. That Krishna is actually here. He's here. He can hear us. He's not only in the heart, because that is a little bit very high level. And Prabhupada says, for the neophyte devotee, there is a Adidevata. This is called the gigantic universal form. And that is, it's a little bit difficult to understand. The universal form is actually material. It's not considered spiritual. It's a little bit difficult to understand. The spiritual, the universal form, it's not a material manifestation. At the same time, it's Yeah, it's kind of difficult to explain. It's said here that the Virat Purush, the legs are the lower planets, the eyes are the sun and the moon, and the head is the upper planetary systems. So it's a little bit mystical, you know. And it's to bring it a little bit down to earth, also people who are really into nature, that is like also, they kind of worship the universal form. They love the sun, they love the moon, they love the sea, like that. It's kind of, because this is called Adi Devata. You have the sun, the sun god, the moon god, the water god, Varuna, like that. So they kind of worship that. And it is good, but it is a very neophyte platform. So, but here the Prabhupada says it's advice to contemplate universal form. So we shouldn't unnecessarily disturb them. At the same time, we can give them a Bhagavad Gita and gradually bring them up to Krishna consciousness. Yeah, to end, Prabhupada says, the super soul gives the individual soul an opportunity to act freely and witness his activities, so he's not interfering. And then Prabhupada says, the functions of all these different manifestations of the Supreme Lord, that is what we're discussing here actually, Adi Yajna, Adi Deva, Adi Bhuta, become clarified for the pure Krishna conscious devotee engaged in transcendental service to the Lord. So this is the secret of success. What's that? The Chaturshloki? 10? You know it? Not 10-10. It's... you should know these verses, Prabhu. 10-10. I mean, I also forgot. But you... Tesam satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam that bhajatam what? What's that last word? Yenamam upayanti te. Yeah, so the thing is that dhami buddhi yogam tam. How does it start? Tesam satata yuktatam, who is always engaged, sat, yukta. In my yoga, in my service, tesam satata yuktatam, bhajatam priti, with love. Bhajatam priti purvakam, who's filled with love in my bhajan, my devotional service. The dhami, I will give him buddhi yoga, intelligence. This is the secret. We have to, it's the whole thing actually. You come to the classes, you chant your japa, and you do devotional service. You follow the authority, you surrender to guru. Like that, it's a whole package, and it needs to be balanced. Like when you eat, you need a little bit of salt, you need a little bit of sugar, you need a little bit of dal, a little bit of rice, then it's very nice. A little bit of cheese. So we need to have the whole package. And then, it was explained by Jamasmi Prabhu, if we just keep serving, because Krishna is not, it sounds a little bit stupid, but Krishna is not crazy, you know. He's not a man, but he's a person. And ultimately, Krishna says, you just surrender unto me. So Prabhupada made it very practical. Surrender means you just work. He would come to India and he would ask some of the Indians, what are you doing for Krishna? Because sometimes Indians were criticizing Prabhupada's disciples. And Prabhupada would retort that my disciples, they have surrendered their life. These are all qualified men. They come from very rich families and they surrendered. Like he would many times give the example of Giriraj Maharaj. His father offered him $1 million to stop chanting Hare Krishna. And he didn't. He said, no, I want to be with Srila Prabhupada. I want to serve Srila Prabhupada. So we just have to work for Krishna. This is a very important aspect. Work with devotion. And then all these things will be revealed. But it's not only working, because that we did in the past, there was too much work. That's also not it. It needs to be balanced. We need to have morning and evening classes like we're doing now. So it is everything. And the deity worship is also a very important aspect for everybody. We heard Jamastami this morning. He said, I didn't do enough deity worship. So he's a very realized devotee, so we should take it very seriously. If we have the chance, we can do some worship. And here it's very easy. Anybody is allowed here to make garlands. So, you know, you can make some garlands. It doesn't have to be every week. But you can help somebody out. There's so many ladies here making garlands. And when I was in Amsterdam, I also used to make garlands. I also made a few garlands here. It's very nice to do. Or you know, so many things. You can bring some prasadam for Krishna. I mean, some boga for Krishna. So many things you could do for the deity direct service. Okay. I'm over time, sorry. I think we can stop there. The Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam, that is what I want to end with. If we just surrender, then Krishna he will give the intelligence. And you can understand all these things more clearly. At the same time, you have to also study Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Any question or comment? Yeah, I didn't mention it because it was something from the 70s, I think, actually. And it never got followed up because they were trying to make a computer language from Sanskrit. I think maybe, I haven't studied, maybe it was just too difficult. Because to study Sanskrit takes 8 years to get it properly. So maybe it was just too difficult. But they could see that the language is the best to write computer scripts. Because you have all these, I mean, I'm not a computer expert, but you have like Pascal and you have computer languages. You know, so they discovered that the Sanskrit language is, because it's, like I said, it's kind of a mathematical language. It's really the best language to write a computer. Maybe in the future they will do that. Probably they will start doing that in the future. When they get more advanced, especially these Indians, they get more and more in the computers. Unfortunately, the Indians, like I said in the beginning, also they kind of lose their culture, you know. So it's our job to inspire them. This was Prabhupada's tactic. Prabhupada preached many years in India, and it didn't really take to Krishna consciousness. And then he brought back his disciples, and then they all became inspired. Because the Indians, they are very much into American culture. So when they saw the Americans embracing Krishna consciousness, they thought, wow, maybe we should also do it. And now actually it's growing. It's growing in India, but still it's, you know, we need to do more, much more. Okay, so the bhajaneers are here. You have the musketeers and the kirtaneers and the bhajaneers. So, we stop there. I finish with tomorrow will be the very important verses. All these verses, 5, 6, 7, 8, especially those 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you should all learn. They're very, very important. Very, especially this 8 one is kind of the conclusion. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. You have to practice this yoga. So please be aware that the next 4 verses you should learn, you should know them, they're very important. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Then we cannot blame them, they're just starting. Huh? I'm just saying.